All right, guys, welcome back. We are doing the second movie for our couples therapy, where me and Brandy get together, watch a movie, and then we talk about it after we get through watching it. The first movie we did was back in the 1940s, The Philadelphia Story, and then we jumped. That was obviously Brandy's pick. My pick for us to watch was the movie Frailty, a Bill Paxton movie. I think this was the only one that he directed. That he was actually a pure director on. There may have been like a smaller other thing that maybe he played in or directed in. But with that being said, we're about to hop right back into it. See
you. Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys. It sound right, boys.
But all right, guys, we obviously are going to be talking about the movie. Like I just said, you can see it in the background there. The movie Frailty had a couple of good actors in there. Mainly the biggest star that was in the movie was, you know, besides Bill Paxton, would be Matthew McConaughey. You know what I'm saying? This is one of my favorites from like a long, long time ago. It's been out. I think this movie came out in 2001. So it's been out for more than 20 years. But yeah, I kind of wanted to go back and like revisit it because I'm a big horror buff, but this isn't like to me a true horror movie. Yeah, it's got horror elements in the story. Obviously, there's things that are, it's a dark story, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's horror. There's not really too much like jump scares in it. They don't, for this to be a horror movie, the way it is and the kind of story that it told, you really barely get. Like, you know, there are things that are there that's not on screen because there is very little blood in this movie for all the things that happen in this movie that you know happens. So it's left to your imagination, which sometimes can make it worse for people when it's left to your imagination. You know, sometimes that imagination kind of can come up and creep up on you and get you. And this movie kind of does that a little bit. It's like you know what's happening. You know that man just got hit in the neck with an axe, but we didn't show it to you, right? And there wasn't a lot of blood splatter. There was like a little bit here and there, but it was not a very, very bloody movie and everything else. But before we kick into the main meat of it, I'm going to let Brandy say what her like initial thoughts after watching the movie is.
My initial thoughts was, what is this crap? I'm sorry. It was weird. It was very weird, and I still, it was just weird. It was just, I tried, Justin. I know you really like this movie. I did not. It was not my taste. I was very confused by a lot of it, and I'm still wondering what the hell I just watched. But
you obviously, you do. Hey, look, that's why this thing is called couple therapy, because of this simple thing. It's like, I love this kind of movie, and they don't even really try to hide anything. They do it in a very creative way. You watching a movie, there's a guy sitting down in an FBI office, and he is sitting in a room. The FBI agent shows up, and then he's directed to the room, basically saying that this guy knows who this killer that he's been searching for is, and they start having a discussion. And this guy starts telling this story. And this is one of the cool things that I think or that I love, reason why I love horror is because of the simple fact that, like, this movie starts out a little dark. You're like, okay, cool, this dude's searching for a killer.
He got a phone call, and it was supposedly from his brother saying something, and then you see the brother shooting him in the head, himself in the head. So right there, I'm like, okay, so what's going on with that? And then he goes to the FBI guy, and he's talking. He's like, I got to tell him the story of my brother and my family and all this stuff. And then his dad was a demon killer, and he was just killing these people. And the boys were, you know, one was like, I see it. And the other one's like, you're killing these people. What are you doing? Like, And he's telling the story of the when him and his brother were little and with his dad and what happened with all these people. And it was just weird. It was just weird. But
right, so
it didn't end the way that like it began. Like his brother never called them. His brother didn't shoot himself. He killed right, his so he's brother.
Telling, he's telling the FBI agent that so they can start the story. This is one of those, like, so you see everything. It's right in front of your face. But the guy telling the story, Matthew McConaughey's character, is an unreliable narrator. Mm-hmm. Because he starts it out like that so that, like, this cop will believe him as he's telling the story. He's mm-hmm. he's doing it on purpose to, like, lead the cop in like a different way. Like you can't sit here and talk to an FBI agent because they're usually going to be pretty good on catching up on the details. So he had to throw the cop off a little bit. So like the little phone call, then his brother doing the thing or whatever, and then him going to get the body and everything else and saying that he buried it and stole like a ambulance and everything else was just all part of the ruse to get the FBI agent to start to believe him so that mm-hmm. his story can check out and everything else. So but yeah, so the movie goes on, but like this is one of the reasons why I love horror, because right here in the middle of this thing, before the dad, technically what a lot of times, a lot of people when they watch this movie for the first time, thinks, oh, the dad's gone crazy. But up to that point, like with the story of the kids, it's like a cool little story about these two kids, their mom died, the dad's actually a good dad, he's like taking care of them and everything, he eats dinner with them every night. Before they go to bed and it's all this kind of stuff. And then his dad has a dream and this, you know, and from there that the story is like, oh, okay. So this is what it is, right? It's not this like, but for, if you take that one part before the dad has a dream, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, oh, this is a cool little story about a dad raising two kids, you know, after the mom died, it could have went in any direction, but it goes in the direction of his dad having the dream. And as you're watching the film, like literally the one of the reasons why I love this movie is because when that stuff happens and when the dream happens and when the dad goes and gets these like so-called magical items and stuff like that, and it's like, oh shit, like the dad's lost it. Me, the movie was going to end by the son who didn't believe it, killing the dad. Like right then and there, I knew that was going to happen. But in my mind, that's one of the things I thought that Bill Paxton did good in this movie, and the actors and stuff like that, and the way they told the story that I thought was pretty cool, was the simple fact that, like, I knew that. And one of the things I dislike about a movie is when I can guess it too soon. And in this movie, I was like, oh, damn. Like, it still might be an okay movie because all the acting and stuff. And this is another thing we talked about when we watched the last movie.
The kid
actors in this movie were freaking fabulous. What happened to kid actors in the last like 10 to 15 years? Like, I'm pretty sure there are movies out there where the kid actors are pretty good, right? I'm just not thinking of one right off the top of my head in that period of time. But by God, in the Philadelphia Story, that child actor was amazing. And the two mm-hmm. child actors in this movie was amazing. Like, you literally could have had a story that was mainly them on camera, not that much with their dad, just intermingling and stuff like that, but them telling a totally different kind of story. Mm-hmm. And I would have watched it and I would have liked it. So that kudos to those kids are in this movie. Cause like, man, it's like eye opening when you see that. But to me, I was watching the movie. I was like, man, I already know how this is going to end. So I was kind of disappointed. But then as the movie goes on, I'm like, ah, man, I don't know. Like, so it keeps going. And then what I think's happening happens. The son who doesn't believe all this stuff, that thinks his dad's gone crazy, does kill him. And I'm like, well, damn, I was right. But then I was like, wait. There ain't no way this movie is already over. There's more to the story. This ain't like an hour long movie or an hour and 5 minute long movie. It's got some more minutes to go. So then I was like caught off guard. Cause I was like, at first, like, oh, what I thought exactly was going to happen was going to happen. It happened. Okay. It was an okay movie. Not that great. But then I look at the time and I'm like, no, dog, there's other stuff. So the story continues. And then, like, this whole time, you've been kind of like the wool's been pulled over your eyes as I've been watching this crazy dad, these two innocent kids getting affected by their crazy dad who has a crazy story about dreaming about an angel coming down and God coming and visiting and everything else. But then it turns out, no, that dude did see God. And it was kind of crazy to see because you don't see too many movies out there, right, that will put God, like most movies, if it has God in there or has like a, unless it's like made by some religious people or whatever, most of the time, if religion's in there, especially in this kind of movie, the religion becomes like a very bad thing, right? Like, God, this dude's crazy for even believing in God, much less thinking he's going to be a killer of demons, right? So, like, that's where your mind goes because so many movies will do that. They'll be like, oh, here's this priest, but obviously he's evil. He's just going around killing people, and he's not a good guy. This movie flips that a little bit, and it's like, no, dog. Like, what the dad was saying, we thought he was crazy this whole time, was actually true. Like, in the story, right? Like, in this movie that we're watching, was actually true. Like, the dad was actually taking out demons and everything else. And one of my favorite parts in the movie is whenever he's telling the FBI agent, you know, right before he kills the FBI agent for doing what he did. But whenever he kills the FBI agent, or right beforehand, and he's like finishing up the story, and he's like, I've always believed. And when that kid, like, it shows him as a kid watching his dad touch him, and then it goes through all the people that we saw that got killed, at least a couple of them, and what they actually did. They were like these very bad people, like, you know, one of them was like a pedophile. So I'm like,
the first lady was like, she killed somebody. The old man was like a pedophile.
Yeah. So the lady was basically like someone who would like would go up to men and get them like, oh yeah, come on up to the hotel room. And then she would like kill them and take all their money. And then the other guy, especially, was like a pedophile. Bro, when I saw that shit, I was like, oh damn, why did he kill Bill Paxton? Bill Paxton was doing the Lord's work. You know what I'm saying? I got upset. I was like, oh, he killed the pedophile. Look, I'm telling you, I hate pedophiles. So, like, whenever that happened, I saw that.
Yeah,
I was
but like, it's still holy wrong. Crap, baby. Still wrong. Killing people, taking it into your own hands. Don't ever do that.
That, yeah, I agree with you ultimately.
Mm-mm.
Right? But I will say, if there was some weird, because it's kind of like, the movie Unbreakable, where you had Bruce Willis, that was like one of the best, most realistic superhero films of all time. But it's kind of like that in the sense that, like, what would happen if you had a power that if you touch someone and you can see, like, if they're good, like, you know, he shakes that FBI agent's hand at the end of the movie and he's like, you're a good man. And then he walks away and you see that, like,
and now he's the sheriff of the town.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, but yeah, but like, you, there is a, I think, a moral a moral dilemma here. Whereas if you did really have that power, right, the thing is nobody's ever going to have that power. But if you did, if we took ourselves, like, and we put ourselves in a fictional story or whatever, where you did have that power, like when you touch someone, that you saw not only if they're good, but if they're truly evil, right? Like, so obviously it wouldn't matter if they did drugs or something like that. Like, you could see, oh, they did drugs, who cares? But like, if you saw, like, in this movie, right, these people that were obviously like pieces of shit that they killed, right? Like, for instance, you touch someone and you knew they did something bad, like murder or pitiful, whatever, like the one guy, like messing around with little kids. Like, if you saw that and had the power to take them out, that is at least a question for yourself at that point in time. Like, I agree with you in normal sense, right? In everyday life, just because you think someone does something horrible or terrible, that you shouldn't thrust yourself in there as being a judge, jury, and executioner, because, like, you don't know. There could be all kinds of things that you don't know in the information or whatever about it. But it does put yourself, if you're thinking in that in the way the story tells it, that if you knew that, what would you do? Like, it would be really difficult for me to have that kind of a power and be able to touch someone and know, oh my God, they've killed three kids, and not want to do anything. I mean, especially as a father, as my own, everything else, like, that would probably touch me even harder because of that. But it'd be hard for me not to do anything. Now, most of us would do the right thing. Even if you had that power, you would go tell cops,
mm-hmm.
because or something like that, right? You wouldn't mm-hmm. take it into your own hands. But yeah. I don't know, man. That's going to be tough, especially with something serious like that. Like the woman, for instance, I would go to the cops. Like, I wouldn't try to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But like that old man, I don't know if I could just go to the cop. I would be just so mad. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't know if I'd be thinking clearly. Like, and that's the thing I think this movie brings up, is like, what ifs, right? It's kind of like people always bring up the fact of, like, say, like, you're standing over baby Hitler, and you, for somehow, you knew what Hitler was going to become. Like, what would you do? This is kind of that moral dilemma of, like, what would you do if you could know? Like, if you knew, like, oh, this is going to happen. It's kind of like why I do fight against people that talk about Luke, and why would he light up the lightsaber above Kylo Ren? Because he felt that Kylo Ren was going to become like his granddad and be Darth Vader and kill a bunch of innocent people. So there for a second, he almost like was like, man, I could end this right now. I could stop this from happening. I could stop millions of people from dying just from doing something. But ultimately, he chose not to, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. I try to think that people are good. So ultimately, they should choose like the better option or the least aggressive option to try to come up with a way to deal with the situation. But and I think a lot of people would, but I do think that people would think about it, right? I do think that people would think about what they would do. I don't think it's going to be open and shut. Oh, like I said, especially with the old man. Like, and I thought it was interesting in the movie where they didn't show, you know, the last guy they got, mm-hmm. the guy who like yelled at his girlfriend or whatever it was in the house, like, mm-hmm. shut up, bitch. When, like, you notice how they didn't show what his bad thing was. And I'm like, they don't have to, because everybody knew. People were probably rooting for that guy to die. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, when they're watching a movie, because mm-hmm. you already know from his actions, he was a piece of shit somehow. You already know he was
mm-hmm.
whatever.
But I still wouldn't, yeah. If God chose me, I would not take other people's lives in my hand. I wouldn't, no matter how bad the thing is, I'd be like, yeah, this guy did this, investigate him. But like, I would not take an axe and go, oh, go ahead and kill him. Like, no, absolutely not.
The whole point with us and with us doing this is like watching movies. Like, I probably would have mm-hmm. never watched the Philadelphia Story. I mm-hmm. think I'd watched it a really long time ago, but I done forgot everything about it because I like movies or whatever. I think I ran into it before, but I never would have watched it ever again without you like saying mm-hmm. that's the movie that you wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's, I just think that all like movies and all stories, I will say this. Did you appreciate the fact that Bill Paxton, the director, at least kept it pretty clean?
Like, clean how?
Like, you didn't see them chopping off the dude's head or...
No, you didn't see that part, but you saw them going down, and even that, I was still closing my eyes, too, because especially...
Right, obviously.
Like, some of those parts, I was like, ooh.
Because, I mean, there's some pretty... There are some pretty grim things in here, but I do say that another reason why I like
it was
this
not
movie,
gore. It was not the gore.
Yeah. So like, I don't mind gore. All right, people. I love horror. Like Evil Dead, bring it on down, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Bring all that gory stuff on. But I also appreciate the fact that there's movies out there like this that I could sit back, share with you, mm-hmm. and know that, like, you know what, this could have been way worse. They could have showed a lot more. They didn't. Like I said, you know, they're like dumping body parts into the grave site out of a trash bag. And you know, that's like grotesque, but they didn't have to show it. That's my thing. I wish more and more people would do that in some circumstances where it's not just like for shock value. I think in this movie, like the story was good enough. You didn't have to have that stuff just like being shown and
no, but there should have been everywhere. Yeah. Especially when they were chopping up bodies, there should have been more blood on their clothing. I mean, they did have some part of you see some blood on the clothing, but it's like, if you're doing that, this splatter, there's more blood on you. There's going to be more blood. But how much blood we have in our body, that's going to get all over you. Especially when you're dragging it and you're like, okay, we're chopping the body up or whatever, grab the legs. You're going to get blood all over you. And what really blew my mind is nobody saw them. Like, nobody see them. But then we...
That's the trick, though. Yeah.
I know what you're going to say because of the whatever. The like, at the end when they put the tape and it was like, oh, he couldn't see who he was because all of a sudden the tape messed up at that point. But, like, it's just not realistic. That's not realistic.
Okay. Another thing that hits me with this, right? Because, like... I consider myself somewhat religious or whatever. Like, I grew up in a religious kind of like thing with my grandmother and everything else. I almost went to college to be like a youth minister, like early on in my life. I'm obviously not that now, but I still have some of those like moral things that I, you know, kind of like keep with me because I think they're overall good and positive, right? But I don't like, obviously I'm not a Bible thumper, nothing like that. I don't try to shove any of that on there. But from that experience, I think another thing that's cool that kind of hit me with this movie that puts it up there for me is the fact of like what God, right? Like does miracles and stuff like that. And the fact that like people think, oh, well, he could like miracle this, miracle this, miracle this, miracle this, and miracle this. All these crazy things, right? Like you think about something big, like parting the Red Sea or whatever, but that's not what I always partook from it. One of the best examples of this would be a story that I saw where this two people were arguing. One was for God, one was against God. And the person that like wasn't believing in God pointed to a cup of water that was on the table in between them and said, all God has to do is knock this cup over. All God has to do is knock this cup over and I would be a believer instantly. And they sit there for a second and nothing happens to the cup of water. And he says, you see what I'm talking about? And he gets up angrily. He gets up fast. And when he does, he bumps the table and a glass of water falls over. Like, that was the whole thing to me is like God may perform miracles or may do things in our lives, right? Whenever I was, you know, going to church and stuff like that. My thought process was things like that could happen, but it doesn't have to be this big grand thing, right? That guy sat there and looked down at the water and like walked away. Still not true a believer at the point because he's trying to rationalize in the head, like, well, I'm the one that bumped the table. But in this thing, like there's this story about a guy who dreams of God coming down, doing all these things, but there's no crazy things. Like the stuff he finds.
But it wasn't very ordinary. God, it was the angels.
Yeah, well, an angel, but he also said God. God spoke to him, angel, sent a message from God, whatever. Mm-hmm. He didn't go out and find, like, some crazy magical, like, true magical weapon. It was just an axe. Mm-hmm. It was some gloves. It was a lead pipe, right? Mm-hmm. It was nothing special, like, truly magical. Mm-hmm. But he was using them in this way. And it was this subtle thing. It wasn't like the super magical thing that was blocking them from being seen. I liked it because it was very subtle. It was like, oh, the tape messes up so you can't see his face, right? While he's sitting
this
in the FBI.
This is also back in the day where it's an actual
VHS. Yeah, straight up VHS. This was done in 2001. Yeah, so this was done in 2001, but the story is held even earlier than that. So, like, yeah, it's definitely back in the VHS tapes days. The FBI,
the VCR
messed up. Yeah. So the tapes messed up. You can't see Matthew McConaughey's character's face.
Nope, and you don't see the face, just the body.
See him, yeah, and the people can't that remember. Did see him can't remember his face. Like the one guy's like, man, I shook his hand and it's just a blur. I can't remember the guy's face. That same FBI agent goes to him as a sheriff at the very end of the movie and meets with him. He walks straight up, looks him right dead in the eye, and he still doesn't recognize him. But it's a very subtle way to do it. It's not like this magical power or something that's got to be done or like a spell. It's just a simple thing. The guy just can't remember for some reason, like
what he, look like,
what he looks like. Exactly. So I like how they did it. I like how they didn't like overdo like the God thing. There wasn't like, you know, even when they did say the angel come to see him, it was like these weird kind of vision things that almost that looked really cheesy very, to a certain point.
Very cheesy. Very.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, but I like that they did that because it was like, you know, it almost made you think like the dad was crazy the whole time, right?
Yeah, because like, one of them was like looking at the trophy and the trophy just like shined bright. Like I was like, what the hell is that? That is definitely some definitely early 2000s shit right there.
I thought we'll break it down now. We're getting close to 30 minutes. We don't want these to go too long. So like we'll both break. I'll go ahead. I'll let you go first. Rating 1 out of 10, what you thought the movie ranked, and then like anything that you like positive, or you can still say that there was stuff you didn't like.
I gave it a 4. I mean, it wasn't the worst I've seen, but it wasn't the best I've seen. And you love it. I'm happy you love it. It was just not my cup of tea, and I just was confused by a lot of it, and I'm still confused by a lot of it, but it was lovely to watch a movie with you.
Obviously give this movie a lot more props and some of the people, especially like if you like horror and stuff, a lot of people's gonna like this kind of story. I don't think it's perfect, but for like Bill Paxton, I think this may be his only movie that he ever really directed. But I thought the cinematography was pretty good in this film. It looked like its time. I thought that was good, right? Like, yeah. So the time period they were trying to do it in looked really, looked good. All that stuff I thought was really good. I thought even like, and it was low key. It wasn't like super aggressive, but I thought even like the music, when they had the music in the background and the soundtrack, was not bad at all. I don't think it's the best ever, obviously, but I thought it was pretty good. And I like a lot of the decisions that Bill Paxton made in this movie. One of them, you see the axe right here next to me. That axe has Otis carved into it. Funny story. Bill Paxton wanted the axe because it was kind of like a big thing that God had like shown this guy to have almost like its own personality. You know what I'm saying? To have like its own name. He literally, at one of the places that they were filming at or whatever, or before they started filming, when they were getting ready to start doing production, he went to a town. There was a homeless guy there. He started talking to the homeless guy, gave the guy a little bit of money and stuff, asked him his name, and his name was Otis. And that's why Otis is on the actual axe. So I thought that was kind of like a cool little story about it. And I thought the child acting was super good, man. Like I said, this is super noticeable from some of the more recent stuff that I've seen. It's always been like, oh, man.
Like, the acting was good. I love the kids. I really love the kids.
McConaughey was good. The FBI agent was good. You've seen him in a bunch of stuff. I can't think of his name right now, but that the guy who played like the lead FBI agent that ended up killing his mom, like he's been in a lot of movies. But Matthew McConaughey, obviously, like I knew
the other guy, the one that was the good guy at the end. I knew him.
I thought this was cool, Matthew McConaughey, because he didn't do what you expected Matthew McConaughey to do. The only thing that I saw that reminded me of Matthew McConaughey watching him do this part was how he was standing as he was watching the FBI agent like drive off. He had that Matthew McConaughey pose where he kind of had his hand on his hip and he was like leaning back or whatever. So like that was the one thing that I could see. And some of his facial expressions you could tell was like Matthew McConaughey, but he didn't do all the like stuff that you expect most of the time when you see a Matthew McConaughey movie. But like I said, all that stuff to me was good. The story to me was good. I love the story. I love the fact that I guessed what was going to happen, but that I didn't know where that was going to lead. I never thought, the whole time, I thought the dad was freaking crazy. I thought that's where they were going with it. His dad becomes a religious zealot. He's just out there murdering innocent people and everything else. And
they're then all crazy.
But it was one of those things. It did a sixth sense on me, right? Because when I watched Sixth Sense for the first time, I had to go back and watch it. Because I was like, bro, this don't make no sense. Mm-hmm. Because I saw Bruce Willis talk to these people during the movie. When I watched it a second time, I realized he didn't say a word, not one time, to none of those people. Mm-hmm. Only to the kid. And this movie, the same thing. When I watched it the first time, I was like, man, I'm going to have to watch this the second time. Because there's just something I'm missing. The thing that you should have called on and that you should have realized where they were going with the story, the thing that should have clicked in my head that told me exactly what was going to happen, was when the dad physically got ill after doing what he did to the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally unlike anything he did with the first two people he killed. The way he acted when he had to kill the sheriff because his son had ran down the street and got the sheriff to come over to his mm-hmm. house and everything, and then kept telling him, oh, I can show you the bodies and all this stuff. The way he acted when he killed that sheriff was how you would envision someone acting, killing somebody for the first time, period.
Mm-hmm.
He acted that way when he killed the cop. He didn't act that way when he killed the other people, because obviously he's putting his hands on them and seeing their nasty deeds, how, like, you know, how scummy they were and like how nasty mm-hmm. they were and everything else. So it is what it is. But I give this movie a 7.5. Sometimes probably think about it being 8. It's not perfect, but I give it a little bit leeway for the fact that it was, if not only, Bill Paxton movie, like directed by him. I thought he did a damn good job. I thought it was a good overall story. I think if you pay attention to the details, you don't get as confused as Miss Brandy over here did a little bit. But and I think as you think, this is a movie that you process it and you think about it like the next day. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I get it more. I understand it more. I don't think it's like a lot of people went and saw this movie at the movie theaters.
I understand it some, but I just didn't like it much. Like I said, it wasn't the worst I've seen. It's not the best I've seen. It's in the middle.
Well, hey, it's the same thing. That's why mm-hmm. we're doing this thing, to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. the first movie we watched, what, I think I gave it like a 6. Eight.
Oh,
I think I gave it like a 6 or something like that. You gave it, yeah. And the thing is because it's not, even though I thought it was good and I thought it was done well and acted well and stuff, that's the only reason why I gave it like a 6. It's not a movie that I super enjoy because I don't care as much for like a story like that. But I can still look at it and go, mm-hmm. hey, for the style of story they were going for, like, this is above mid-grade for me. Because
it was
like,
1940.
For the style of story they were, exactly. So, like, for the time period, for the style of movie it was, it's not my style of movie. So, like, mm-hmm. I'm always like, well, I can't give it a really high grade because I obviously don't enjoy it as much. But
you did enjoy it.
It was done well. No, it was done well. Like I said, it was acted well. Like, I can still recognize that. I can go watch a movie that's not my style of movie.
I said it was acted well. I just didn't. It wasn't my cup of tea, so it was a 4 for me. That's
this
in the
might
middle.
Be a hot take. You might be giving a hot take. Most of the people that I know that seen Frailty really like it. I ain't saying everybody thinks it's the greatest movie of all time, but they like it.
Listen, I said it was fine. It was not my cup of tea. It was just, it was a 4. So, like, it's not the worst. Like, I could have given it a 0, like, but I didn't.
Wow.
It was a 4. The acting was fine, and I loved the.
All right, guys. Well, couples therapy might be over at this point in time. It might just be handbone to the movies like it used to be and everything else. I do want to thank the Patreons and everything else for, like, what they've done for us and all that good stuff. Thank you guys very, very much. If you want to join that, should be a description at the end of the video.
You're wrong. But, you're so wrong for that.
That's messed up, man.
Not for the Patreon thing, but taking me off screen. You're wrong for that.
Hit that like and subscribe button as well. Right, you can, and comment down below how wrong Brandy is. You get that. That's what we do here. You know what I'm saying? Tell Brandy how wrong she is about her grade on the movie.
Not wrong.
Well, that we'll see. Maybe we'll get some comments. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. We'll count them up.
We'll count them up. Go ahead.
Well, that's go watch the movie, man. It's a great. I love this movie, and a lot of people I've talked to. But like I said, we always talk to people that like the kind of stuff that we like. And like I said, that's why I thought it would be interesting for me and Brandy to do this, because I love horror. Brandy don't like horror. Obviously, Brandy likes 1940s movies. I don't particularly dig them all the time. And Sandra Bullock. I'm pretty sure within like the first five movies he picks, there's going to be a Sandra Bullock movie on it. Okay, guys. Just get ready.
Maybe some Lovecraft number nine.
Guarantee it's going to be all kinds of silly stuff. But until next time, guys, be ready out there. Like I said, please like and subscribe to the channel. And until next time, peace. Peace.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys. It sound right, boys.